Apartheid.
The program for businessmen, services, seminars, and conventions are at Post Office Box 516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71901.
Thursday afternoon, July the 3rd, 1975.
22nd World Convention of the Forgot for Businessmen Fellowship being held
at Anaheim Convention Center, Anaheim, California.
This tape is a Catherine Kuhlman service.
Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return to Post Office Box 516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71901 for replacement.
When life's work is done, my Jesus will break through those eastern skies and welcome his children home. Jesus is my wonderful Lord. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus, my
thank you, Connie Smith, for that beautiful number. Let's all stand together and sing, "How Great Thou Art." Open your lungs.
Silence, please. There's such power in silence. Be still and know that I am God. Underneath all of the uncertainties of life, you and I have security in you. He who spoke the world into existence, he who said that there be light and there was light, is our heavenly Father. And there's no uncertainty about that. At his right hand in position of great high priest, his only begotten Son. And one of these days, every knee will bend, every head will bow, of all nations, all tongues, all kindreds. And the world will crown him the mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And John said in the book of the Revelation, and I heard the voices of these millions as they adored him and sang, Alleluia. And you thought they worshiped us. Alleluia. Wonderful moment when the world will crown him the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, words of one who ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. You and I have a hearing before the Father's throne as we come in his name. The name of the King. Let all that have breath in the great place of worship, as the very angels take it up with us and sing it, lift it everywhere, Alleluia. Alleluia. To be so careful to give you the praise, to give you the honor, to give you the glory for everything that the Holy Spirit does in this place of worship today. You'll not share the glory with any human being. And we bow to give you all the glory. all the praise for everything that the Holy Spirit does. For it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, anything can happen in the great auditorium today, you know that? And away up there, as far as I can see, the folk are seated. God love you. When I say three, everybody in the great auditorium say amen. No, 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 wait till I say three. I know it's just like that. The very atmosphere is just permeated with the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I say three, then say amen. One, two, three. You know we're loaded today. Oh, that's brilliant. That's wonderful. And you folk are way up there. You folk are way up there. Don't feel so badly that you didn't get kicked out on the main floor. But remember something, if we have the great catching up, if we have the rapture before I get through speaking, you'll be the first ones up. Oh, come on. Give this man, one of the greatest living saints today, give our dear brother Shakarian a great big God bless you. Everybody in this auditorium, stand. Stand. Come on. Stand. Every person who speaks. That's right. And he's well deserving. That's why right. Give him a great big God bless you. No one deserves it anymore. That's right. Go on. Don't let him stop you. He's a modest man. He's a modest man.
I tell you what, I'm going to have my turn now. Catherine Coleman, the greatest woman in the world, bringing the gospel to the entire world, shaking the world. Let's tell her we love her, shall we? Hey, amen. Come on now.
Oh, God. Oh, that's nice of you. That's nice of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's so kind of you. And I want you to know, if you had lived and died and you'd never had seen Catherine Coleman, you wouldn't have missed a thing. So sit down. God bless you. Oh, you know, I count it a very great privilege for the Full Gospel businessmen to invite me to be one of their guest speakers. I've been with these businessmen a long time. It's been years, hasn't it? Several years I've been with you. And it still proves that the men need the women. But just thanks. Just thanks for inviting me. I count it a great privilege. And I pray that before the last song will have been sung, that each of us will have felt the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me for just 1 minute check the sound before our Jimmy sings, because I want you to get every word. How many cannot hear in the auditorium? Say amen. Amen. Well, how do you know what I said? Again, there's just a section up there. I'm not scared enough to say anything, you know. How many up there? Is it just one section up there? Can you hear now? One person has good hearing up there.
I'll have to pray for the rest of them after the service. You know that?
Is it all right now? Hey, well, where are you? I can't even see you. The crowd is so great. I can't even see you. You're behind the stage. Are you sure there's someone up there? I have to take your presence by faith. How many of you folks behind the stage and I can't even see you and have to know whether you're there or not? Say amen. All right, I checked out your hearing. You can hear. You're all right. Well, I'll tell you, I don't care whether you hear me or not, just so you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, and it's just like that. That's the most important thing of everything. And now I pray that not one person shall see Catherine Kuhlman. Not one. Not a man, not a woman, not a child in this place of worship shall see thy servant. Move upon this people. I pray that the Holy Spirit shall have perfect liberty in this place. Oh, for a thousand tongues to tell what we have experienced, what we feel, what we know to be the truth. But may the Holy Spirit come upon this people and give us great spiritual revelation as we wait in your presence. This great world convention is so timely. These things do not just happen. They are a part of your plan. They are a part of your great schedule. Time is running out. You've chosen certain people as you have chosen, dear Mr. Shakarian, to be the leader of literally thousands and thousands of businessmen throughout the world. It's a part of your great plan. People gathered here from all nations, it's a part of your great plan. As we honor the great third person, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And wherever one finds the presence of the Holy Spirit, we find that he always glorifies and always magnifies Jesus. May Jesus get great glory from this service today. Granted. Amen. I shall not speak to you at any great length. So don't feel as though you're going to be here the rest of the afternoon. Somehow I have the reputation of holding long services. I don't know why. I don't have the slightest idea. I get going, you know, and I forget to stop, and we never have a benediction, you know that. And it goes on for hours, but I promise you, you shall not need any great length today. You have a wonderful speaker tonight. Rex Humbard is going to be the speaker tonight. Come here, Rex. Come here. Come here, Rex. Rex, how many years have we known each other?
I'm not going to tell because I don't want to say I'm getting old and I know you're not.
Oh, no, Rex, you know we're not.
I'll tell you how long we've known each other. We've known each other till we remember the days of a tent. And, brother, we didn't have an auditorium like this. She kicked up more sawdust in Akron, Ohio than anybody that ever came to town.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And the funny part about it, We only have 6,000 seats, and she tried to put 18,000 in that tent every time she came. But I'll say this, that God has laid his hand upon Catherine Kuhlman for this moment and this hour to reveal his supernatural power to the church. And I thank God for her faithfulness and how she can continually go city after city like she does. I don't know. But God has given her the strength and the power, and how I thank God for it, and I know you do too. Let's pray for her every day, and let's lift up our hands every day, and let's believe God every day for the miracle-working power to continue. Amen? We love you.
Doctor,
you know that.
I've never doubted it for a moment, Rex. Believe me.
We always have loved you.
I know.
My wife loves you too. And the thing of it is, I have to stay in good with Catherine and Maud Eaney. They know too much on me.
Give Rex a great big applause. Glory. Rex, I pray that tonight you'll have the greatest anointing you've ever had in your life. And you've had some great anointings, believe me. But I pray that as you speak tonight, you'll have the great anointing of the Holy Spirit. And remember that tomorrow night, Dr. Oral Roberts, I pray that the power of God shall come upon him. I too am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has chosen certain people for this hour. I believe that with every atom of my being. Tonight, remember, is Rex Combine. Tomorrow night, Oral Roberts. Let's just pray we won't have the great catching up until... Because I don't want to miss it for anything in the world, you know. Do you realize that I seldom get a chance to go to church? Do you realize that? Do you realize that I am in services constantly? A reporter asked me the other day, he said, Catherine Kuhlman, what do you do to prepare? And I said, prepare for what? He said, well, now, what do you do to prepare for a service like this? I said, man, I stay prepared. And it's just lucky. It's just like that. You stay prepared. It's a constant thing. It isn't a profession. It's a constant thing. It's a 24-hour work. A talk show the other day, and we were coming to the climax of it, and the one who was interviewing me said, Catherine, now, what advice would you give to someone who wanted to do the same kind of work that you're doing? What advice would you give them? And you know, and I blurt it all out. I mean, that's one thing, it all comes out. And I said, you want to really know? I tell them, don't do it. If you've never really been called of God, don't do it. If you've never had a divine call of God, don't do it. Know that. If I were to stand up here and tell you that it was easy, you know, that's all that some people see. Whenever I come out in a white dress, that's all that some people think is a white dress. That's all they see. All they see is the glamour of it all. But I'm going to tell you something. There are days and days of hard work. These things don't just happen. If I had not had a divine call from God years and years ago when I first started out, I wouldn't be standing before you this hour. I know the one who has called me. I know for whence my call has come. I know the one who is my glorious strengthener. I know why I can keep going. I know the secret of the results of this ministry.
And that's the reason I would fear and tremble if I were in the shoes of one who would touch it. Because this is a divine, a Holy Spirit anointed ministry. You're not touching Catherine Kuhlman. You're touching the Holy Ghost. You're touching the power of God. Don't touch Brother Shakarian. Don't touch Brother Shakarian. That's the man who's been filled with the Holy Ghost and called of God. Hi, Ralph. Is that you? You got a different hairdo. Yeah, you got a haircut. You said it. I didn't. Hi, Ralph. God love you. Don't touch Ralph Wilkerson. Don't you dare touch Rex Humbard. Don't you dare touch Oral Roberts. Don't you dare touch Billy Graham. These are men filled with the Holy Ghost and a part of God's plan in these last days. And it's just like I'm going to speak just very briefly. I want to read a scripture, though, that means so much. Everybody's talking about the hour, of course, in which we're living. The uncertainty of the future is on the lips of men and women everywhere. I don't care where you go. West Coast, East Coast. I don't care where you are, anywhere in the world. I don't know whether the man, whether he be a politician, or just the businessman, or the man on the street. I don't care who the person is. On his lips and in his mind is the uncertainty of the future. If you really want to know what the future holds, then, my friend, turn to the Word of God. It's all in the Word. That little book of Joel, that precious little book, there are only 3 chapters, that's all. But in this precious little book of Joel, we have the entire picture of this present age. The holy thing is there. We're coming now to the time of the end of the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit is about to leave. It's all there. And this is not an hour of revival. My friend, if you're still standing behind your pulpit and praying for revival, remember, it's outdated, it's outmoded. This is not an hour of a spiritual revival. This is an hour of great restoration. This is the church's greatest hour, believe me. The church never had a greater hour than the hour in which you and I are living. Leaving this great convention, this great world convention, going back to your country, standing behind your pulpits again, go back knowing that you belong to a body of believers that are not a defeated body. When the church goes out, it's going out in great glory and great power. This is a thrilling moment. Where are we? In prophecy. I will restore, and I'm giving you the word of God. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I have sent among you. And out of great restoration, but there's more than that. And I read that 24th verse. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I wish I could stand on the highest mountain peak and just proclaim it to every Christian today, of all people and all nations. Rejoice! He's given us the promise. I will restore to you the years that had been taken away. And when that great restoration comes, the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Get the picture for just a second. For the regenerated, this is the dark hour. I would lie to you if I were to stand here and tell you that the future is bright for the unregenerated. I would tell you an untruth knowing the Bible as we do. And there isn't a theologian here in this place but will agree with me that so far as the future is concerned for the unregenerated, it's dark. The politicians will never be able to change it. Never. The Democrats, the Republicans will never be able to change it. And remember something. This is absolute authority. You can stake your very life on thus saith the Lord. If you do not hear anything else that I say in the next several minutes, I want you to remember something. You can stake your life on His The other day in the great press conference in Las Vegas, when the reporters asked me a question and said, Catherine Kuhlman, don't you believe that many of our university and our college students, our high school students, are really being helped in a very religious way through their experiences with dope? I turned to them very quickly. And I said, you know, sir, there is a difference between religion and Christianity. A great difference. There never was a time when we had more religion than we have today. There never was an hour when there was more religion. It seems as though every hour on the hour, every week, there's a new cult springing up. We're loaded with religion. A new religion constantly. But remember, religion is nothing more or less than supposition. That's all. It's purely man's supposition. But Christianity, my friend, is true. And this is truth. This world needs no defense. I do not stand before you. I do not stand before the world. I never have to stand before an audience and defend the Word of God. The Word of God needs no defense. It speaks for itself. The Son of Living God, the very Son, absolute deity and divinity, needs no defense. The Holy spirit needs no defense, and I want to just say something in this moment to those of you who are new in this great charismatic movement. And the Holy Spirit is a personality who has become very new to you. And you feel as though he's just a new personality on the scene. All the ecstasy of that wonderful experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit is glorious, it's marvelous. And immediately, you want to tell others, you want to give to another a part of this wonderful experience, but remember something. You do not have to defend the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost needs no defense. See, something is very beautiful regarding this mighty third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He's about to leave in a very short time. But before Jesus went away, he made provision for those of us who would be living during this time of turmoil, this time of uncertainty. When we come to the church, if only you could realize the importance of this body of believers. And there's only one who can say, my church, and that's the Son of the Living God. This beautiful body of believers, this gift that God the Father gave to his Son. Sometimes I think we take it so lightly. You wonder why this great coming out among the Catholics, the Protestants, they're coming out, the non-believers. They're coming out from every nation. Something is happening. Something is happening. I pray that before this great convention is over with, you'll come to the full revelation that something is happening. Something glorious is happening, and all the forces of the hell will not be able to stop it. I don't care what your unbelief may be. I don't care what your theology may be. I want to go on record as saying to you, all the forces of hell will not stop this great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Believe in this great charismatic movement, but my friend, you're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it. Your unbelief, your doubts will never stop it. Satan himself will never stop it. It's bigger than man. It's bigger than man's theology. So often I think we try to bring God down to man's level. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Where are we now? I'll tell you exactly where we are. We're the place where the world is standing on the threshold of the greatest suffering it has ever known. The Bible speaks of it as not only troubles but tribulation. Tribulation the world has never known, no generation has ever known. The suffering, the tribulation that's just in the future. So much so that even in his wrath he remembers with mercy, and the days shall be shortened. Remember, the wrath of God is as perfect as his love. I stand here hour after hour and talk about the love of God, but I still remember that his wrath is just as perfect as his love. Know that. Sin has got to be reckoned with. Know that. And we're standing on the threshold of something now. that is literally prophecy being fulfilled and is happening so quickly. We can have the great catching up before the final benediction of this great world convention. It's happening that quickly. Nations are as men on a chessboard. This is the hour when God has described it as having hooks in the jaws of the nation. There's no greater, really great world ruler on the scene. But if you want to know how the nations are going to shape up for that last and grand and fatal battle, all you have to do is to read the 38th chapter of the book of the Revelation. It's all there. It is no secret. If some of you reporters want a real scoop, start reading the Bible. It's there. The whole thing is there. And this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. I'm not a seer, I'm not a prophet, a prophetess, but I believe the word of God. And I stake my very life on it. It's dark out there. The only restraining force that's left in the world today for good is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only restraining power there is. I don't want to be here 1 5 minutes after that the Holy Spirit has been taken out. I tell you, my brethren, I wouldn't want to be here 1 5 minutes after the Holy Ghost has been taken out. He is the only restraining force in this world today. All the forces of hell are let loose. And think what it's going to be like when the Holy Spirit is taken out. To tell you that it's easy living these days, I would tell you an untruth. But I'd also tell you that God has made provision for every one of His children. You and I do not have to go down in defeat for one split second. He's made provision. This wonderful third person of the Trinity who knows the Holy Spirit better than Jesus. When He staked everything that He had, do you fully realize that Jesus staked everything that He had on the Holy Spirit? When Jesus Christ came to this earth in the form of flesh, He staked everything on this mighty third person of the Trinity. I mean everything. Because He knew He would be as much man as though He were not God. He knew He would stand face to face with temptation. He knew the hour would come when He'd stand face to face with the evil one, the devil. And I believe in a literal devil. I believe in a literal Satan. Jesus knew He could not withstand the power of the evil one alone. If He could not have yielded to temptation, then those temptations would have been a farce. He knew the power of the Holy Ghost. And in that hour, before His feet left the Mount of Olives and He went back again to heaven from whence He came.
Please turn the tape over. Thank you.
Going back in great power and great victory. Knowing the future of this wonderful gift that the Father had given Him. Remember something. You and I, the church, were the gift that the Father gave His Son. Don't let bitter loneliness make it real to your heart. It'll do something to you that nothing else in the whole world spiritually will do to you. Sitting there born again, being able to say, "My Heavenly Father," whether you're Catholic or Protestant, whether you're Jew or Gentile, remember, if you've been born into this body of believers, you're a part of a gift, and love is something that you do. And the church was the gift that God the Father gave His Son, for Jesus referred to us as, "These that Thou hast given unto Me." My brethren, you are a part of that wonderful gift. I am a part of that wonderful gift. And He knew what the future would hold for us. "For I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world." It would have been so much easier. The Father would have had this wonderful experience of regeneration if in that moment He would just take us and lift us out of this world and take us home to glory. It would have been so much easier for all of us. But that wasn't a part of His plan. "I pray not, Father God, that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. Keep them their minds. You've given them to Me. They're My bride." And before He went away, the very last thing that He did, He made provision that you and I should not be defeated on a single score. If you're a part of this great body of believers, you do not have to go down in defeat for one split second. I do not have to go down in defeat for one split second. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus in this great auditorium, greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful. The greatest gift that Jesus could have given you and could have given me. There's more to those words than there is in the minister of the gospel, what has preached a sermon. The words of Jesus when He said, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." But there's more. There's more to it than many of us have recognized. Do you know what it's like to be led of the Holy Spirit? Oh, sure, you sit in a great auditorium and you see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the healing of sick bodies, and we're awed by that which our eyes can see. I too am thrilled every time I see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the healing of a sick body. But there's more. There's more to those words that Jesus spoke than just manifestations as we see with her eyes. Do you know what it's like to be led of the Holy Spirit? And if you're led of the Holy Spirit, it means that you follow. And as you follow Him, He gives you the victory over temptations and over sins. He gives you the victory over the evil one. And you do what you cannot do. He gives you strength that you don't have of yourself. Do you know what it's like to be given a divine strength that you do not have in the natural? That the natural man, the natural woman would break under. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you draw on His resources and you realize that all that is His is yours, and you draw on Him for your strength, and you look up at the little child and say, I can't do it in the natural. I can't do it in the natural. All that I know is that I'm following You. I'm following You. Sometimes almost blindly. But I'm following You. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And there's an experience in Him that He gives you the strength. A strength that no man can give. Do you know what it means? Do you know that wonderful fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Paul knew it and he knew it well. When he talked about the mercy and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he talked about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When you're following Him. When you've taken up your cross, to every man his cross, his cross. We talk about the cross of Jesus. That was His cross. His cross is not mine. If any man will follow me, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. It was His cross. The last thing that He did, before He went to His cross, He looked up and said, nevertheless, not to my will, but thine be done. Do you really know what it means? Oh, I know there's that great ecstasy of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I know. We're in a great charismatic world convention here today. You'll have great moments of ecstasy. And there'll never be a greater experience of emotion in your life than when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's marvelous. But my friend, do you know the experience of having yielded your will to the will of the Father. Not some of self and some of thee, but none of self in all. It's a lonely life. Thousands and thousands of people around about you. They're there on every hand, the multitude are there. But my friend, if you're going to follow him all the way, after the great emotion dies away, it's a lonely life. But my friend, it's the most thrilling thing in the world to know that you've given your life on that. And in so doing, there's that wonderful fellowship of the Holy Spirit. There's a fellowship there. You say to me, have you ever seen the Holy Spirit, Catherine Coon? You speak so much regarding the Holy Spirit. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? I've never seen God. And yet he's my heavenly Father. I was never more sure of anything in my life than the fact that he's my heavenly Father. Have you ever seen Jesus? I would almost have to hesitate before I answer that question because he's so real to me. No. Not really. But he's as real to me, more real than any person I've ever seen. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? I've never seen the Holy Spirit, no. No. Not really. But there's no human being as real to me as this mighty third person of Trinity. I wouldn't want to live if I felt I had grieved him out of my heart and my life. This glorious third person who's my mighty strengthener, I thank you, wonderful Jesus, for having made provision for me and for every member of your church before you went away for these closing moments of this dispensation. In this glorious hour when the enemy is so strong on every hand, thank you for having made provision for your own. Our glorious strengthener, the one who gives us divine wisdom, the one who leads us and guides us, he is our defense. We need no other defense. No, I have not seen the Holy Spirit. But neither have I seen the will. You may call me a fool for my faith. You may call me a fool for my belief. in an unseen personality. But remember, no man hath seen the wind that each of us is conscious of the wind. We see the result of the wind. We see the result of the force of the mighty wind. I too see the force of the mighty wind. But even more than that, I feel that glorious anointing of the Holy Ghost, that provision that He has made for every one of His children. When He'll take the most ordinary, He doesn't ask for golden vessels, He doesn't ask for silver vessels, He asks for yielded vessels. And He'll take the most ordinary person. I don't care who that one might be. Illiterate to the point where you may not be able to read or write. He'll give you a divine insight into the spiritual. That the wisest man without the great spiritual revelation has no idea. He'll give you a wisdom beyond the wisdom of man's understanding. He'll give you a courage. He'll give you power where you feel you can stand alone, arrayed against all the forces of hell. And you stand there strengthened, and you feel like a giant, not to be called of your own strength, but because you are drawing on unseen resources. I haven't been speaking to you about something that's imaginary. I've been speaking to you about something that's the most real thing that can happen to any individual. The church, all right, where are we now? Where are we now? He's getting ready to wind things up. I believe the days are numbered. Those who are spiritual agree with me. The days are numbered. War in the Middle East is absolutely inevitable. The stage is all set. The Word of God this hour is more up to date than tomorrow morning's newspaper. Where are we now? The last member of the bride is being taken in. We're living in an hour of great mercy. Wonderful mercy. I haven't preached a sermon on faith for so long. It's been so long since I preached a sermon on faith. But when I see the great manifestation of God's power in many of these services, I see folk who, in the natural, do not have but one lick of faith, and yet they're beautifully healed by the power of God. It's an hour of great mercy. Things are happening that could not have happened before. Believe me. It could not have happened 15 years ago. It could not have happened 10 years ago. I could not have gone to Ottawa, Canada, even 5 years ago. and stood on that stage in that stadium before 22,000 people with members of the parliament there, with literally scores and scores of Catholic priests there, with the choir of 1,200 filled with Catholic sisters. I remember the time well in Pittsburgh. Jim Murray came in one Monday morning, a member of St. Barnabas Church, and he said, "I have something to say to you." He said, "Father so-and-so kept me after Mass this morning," and he said, "Jim," and I was on Jim's radio station, KQV, and the Father said to Jim, "Who in the world is Captain Kuhlman? We've had more people in the confessional booth the past 3 months confessing that they went to see Catherine Kuhlman. Who is she?" What is happening now could not have happened 5 years ago. And they came, the French Canadians. I couldn't speak French and they couldn't speak English. And yet they'd been marvelously healed. The power of God swept those thousands 2 weeks ago Sunday. I said, "Speak in your own language." They spoke in their own native tongue. What they said, I'm not sure, but one thing I know, the Holy Spirit speaks the universal language. I've learned that a long time ago. A glorious, great coming up. I want you to know that Pope Paul could have fit in very well with this great worldwide convention of the full gospel businessmen. He would have understood everything that was happening. He would have understood. This is a part of God's great plan. These miracles of healing, I have nothing to do with them. Absolutely nothing to do with these great miracles. And these miracles of healing are not psychic miracles. Know that. I want to go on record this afternoon. I want you to know that these miracles of healing are not psychic miracles. It's not a matter of mind over matter. This is the old-fashioned power of God. Remember, the floors shall be full of wheat, and the dust shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I send unto you. I have never wanted to live so much in my life. I tell you the truth. For just a second, I want to tell you that. Let me just bare my soul. I have worked through the years. Not 5 years. Not 10 years. In Boston, just last Sunday morning, a woman came up to me in the airport. She said, "You're Catherine Kuhlman." I said, "Yes." "Oh," she said, "I remember you so well." She said, "We watch a telecast now. Melba, Idaho." My word, Melba. It probably has a population of 125 people. That's one of the places where I first started out in Melba. She said, "I was only not more than 14, she said. I said, "Oh, that's all right. I was only 16. I I said, you remember the house where I stayed? Oh, sure, she named the people. Remember the little Presbyterian church? It wouldn't hold any more than 100. That had been a long time.